The Football Show on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
I'm prepared to do anything I can to make my country again.
Do it then.
What about your start to the game?
It wasn't bad, was it?
Why should an honest answer be a mistake?
How can a modern day manager not have a mobile phone?
Why should he?
Well, here we are, 73 minutes on the clock. Liverpool 5, Roma 0. They are in the Champions League final, we can safely say already, I think. And our next guest, Graeme Hunter, is on to talk about one of the greats in Iniesta as he bids farewell to Barcelona. But, Graeme, we can't not comment on what we're seeing at Anfield for a few moments' time. This has been a complete demolition job. Has it not, Graeme?
Look, it's important to me when Weller doesn't get a comment. These two subjects that you've just raised go together, as far as I'm concerned. And as Iniesta, you know, I've had the great, great good fortune of being in the city where he plays from his debut until today. I've met him many, many times, interviewed him, and I've sort of loved his play. It took me a long time to understand it. My frustration in the early years, first couple of seasons, that he couldn't convert his goal chances, that he kept on making an inordinate number of beautifully crafted openings, which he then didn't convert, meant that the younger, less mature me was a little bit critical of him. And this is something I've told him. This is something I told my my viewing companion from 2002-2003, who is a godfather of my daughter. He's representative for Steven Pienaar, for Victor Wanyama. And he went, he plays a different game from anybody else. That was in 2002. Rob Moore was telling me that. Now, everything subsequently has proved him right, has proved me immature in those days in thinking that if the goals weren't coming, then maybe this was a player who would frustrate more than delight. Okay, granted to me, it's 16 years ago. But as we say goodbye to him, with the likelihood, it hasn't been announced, and the emotion that's welling up in him about leaving Football Club Barcelona, and in my view, the difficulties that will face him if he goes to Chinese league football, means that, you know, I'm holding my breath to wait and see whether he confirms this week, as he promised he would, that he's leaving Football Club Barcelona. It's a contractual term that says he's got to say to the club, staying or going. It's within his power, because that's the contract they gave him last time. Stay or go is something completely within his own decision-making. The idea of going to Manchester City, all of that is tantalising. But tonight, as we're watching a completely different brand of football, a hybrid of football, which owes nothing to Pep Guardiola's passing ideal and possession ideal, but is technically very, very high level by Liverpool, but played by people who are differently shaped from Andres Iniesta, a different pace from the Andres Iniesta captain side that went out to Roma, having led 4-1 and then losing heavily in the Roman capital, losing with lead in the legs, losing by being overpowered, out-jumped, out-run, losing by a style of football which was very 1970s, punt it long to Dzeko, make sure that you put the Liverpool, Barcelona under pressure at all times, that you try and stretch their capacity to show their technical skills, and they cracked. Now, that's because of a decline in the ideal at Football Club Barcelona, a decline in the, well, an absence of Dani Alves and Carlos Puyol and Eric Abidal and Xavi and David Villa and Pedro. It's a different moment. But Andres Iniesta, after an outstanding, elegant goal-scoring and controlling game at the weekend in the Spanish capital at the Wanda Metropolitan against Sevilla, where everything that we've always adored, whether you like Football Club Barcelona or not, is just about irrelevant in this case, because Iniesta transcends any type of club loyalty. Still the same. This tonight and what happened to Barcelona when they beat Roma, you said we have to talk about what's happening tonight. Roma were beaten at the Camp Nou 4-1, and it bore no relation to not just 5-0 now, but the 3-0 that Liverpool had or the 4-0 that Liverpool had. The game bore no relationship to it. Roma were in that game. They were already pushing and probing out running Football Club Barcelona. And that wasn't Iniesta's fault. But I wonder, Joe, I genuinely wonder whether the time for players like Iniesta, the era of players like Iniesta is passing by. But I wonder how often we'll get somebody like him whose genius on the ball is so exquisite and who is surrounded by players of such exquisite technique that it does not matter about his physical size, his height, his pace, where technique is still above everything else. I really wonder not whether that era will come again, because technique is always primary, but whether we haven't moved into a blend. Mm. And I think what we're watching tonight tells you that we've moved into a blended era where technique and intelligence and strategy and quality of passing, quality of first control can be mixed with players of different physiques, different engines, different height to Andres Iniesta. And I just find it poetic and interesting that we're celebrating what is likely to be the end of Iniesta's career in Spain. Certainly, I imagine it's his last cup final for Barcelona that we saw at the weekend, at a moment where Liverpool are doing this.
Mm. Yeah, very interesting. He was substituted and got the, as expected, round of applause and standing ovation from both sets of fans, as he has done across Spain for a long time.
When you say as expected, why? I'm not being pedantic, but
Iniesta transcends, I would think.
He gets standing ovations. When he visits your stadium and he won the World Cup for your country, yes. Mm-hmm. I thought it was genuinely, I'm not being, rude or pedantic or priggish. I think when you travel after a semi-horrible season. Sevilla have been overtaken by Betis in the league. They've shipped 5 goals 6 times. Their second manager of the season is just about to be sacked. Monchi has gone. Yes, they had a historic result against Manchester United, but it looks like they will not play Champions League, and playing European football in general is under threat. They go to the cup final. They go to the situation where they normally don't care about the odds. You remember very well how the Europa League final in Switzerland against Liverpool was going at halftime, when Liverpool were, 1-0 up, going on 7-0 up, and Sevilla still came back and won it. So I would say that the humiliation of losing, not only 5-0, but in the playing manner that they lost, for those Sevilla fans to still reach up to the sky and clap above their heads for Andres Iniesta was one of the more remarkable things I've seen in Spanish football. And I didn't think it bore any comparison with the here comes the World Cup hero that he's been getting since 2010.
Yeah.
I genuinely thought that was humility and honesty and refreshing sportsmanship on a new level by the Sevilla fans. That's what it caused me to feel, at least, Joe.
Yeah, fair point. I guess maybe if he was 29 and there were more seasons ahead, they may have been less inclined. But given that it would be the last time they were going to see him,
fair point.
It rose above that. A quote from David Silva: "The press often ask me whether Messi or Ronaldo is the best, but for me, something is very clear. Andres Iniesta is the number one. He's able to do even more difficult things on the pitch. He is magic with the ball and so influential." I mean, he doesn't just have the admiration of everybody looking on. He has the absolute admiration of his peers. If we just pickpocket our way through certain points in his story, it obviously starts as a 12-year-old when he arrives at the Nou Camp and La Masia and is in tears for quite a lot of his initial time
if we're
there.
Pickpocketing, Joe, and I don't know whether you want to just drop off and point out that Roma's fight back has begun.
Yeah, with a goal. Is that Dzeko? I'm just seeing the beginning of a replay.
Chesting down and poking home really nicely the former City striker with his right foot, all alone, playing the kind of role that he did both at the Camp Nou and in the Olympic Stadium for Rome in the last round. He's on fire in European terms. But as we know, it's 5-1. If we pickpocket, then we have to start before the arriving in tears, because he shouldn't have got there. He shouldn't have been there. Joe, he was spotted in a seven-a-side tournament down really near his home. And he was spotted because he was playing with the Leo Messi of his age, Jorge Trotero, who was a couple of months older than Andres, was the show player. Barcelona were absolutely intent on getting him. They played together for Albacete because he was a little bit older. He just fit through the Barca guidelines for what age you can take a little talk up to your football base, to your youth system. And because they were so keen on making sure that Trotero made it, they said, right, we'll bring your chum as well. They brought two of them. They brought Iniesta and Trotero. They liked Iniesta, but he was way too young for their own rules. They had literally no experience of handling a kid of that age. Mm. It's pure fluke that misery that you rightly pointed out, he suffered in the journey up, in tears all the way with parents and grandparents, tears every night, being looked after by a significantly older Victor Valdes. So even
Valdes has talked about the tears,
because
hasn't
of this kid Trotero, who was a genius, coming into the system was a pure fluke, Joe, and getting through that absolute homesick agony was also something that could easily have gone wrong, and he could easily have signed for the club that he could have stayed at home, signed for the club that, listen, to be quite honest, he supported when he was a kid, which is Real Madrid.
Yeah, just 6 years after being dropped off, and it's interesting you mentioned Valdes, because Valdes has talked about the fact that this guy really did forge a career in spite of a lot of tears. He would have seen them day in, day out. Just 6 years after he's dropped off by the parents and the grandparents, he does make a debut in 2002. It's probably not till he's 24, 25 that he's nailing down a regular spot, Graham. Did they share any of the concerns that your more immature self, to use your word, may have had initially?
It was different. It was very different from what I wasn't seeing. There was a common acceptance amongst the coaching staff, which was Frank Rijkaard and Henk Ten Cate, and amongst the senior pros and the junior pros at the Camp Nou, that Iniesta was very, very special. What Rijkaard, given that he was a highly technical player of huge physical stature, both in terms of height and power, there was absolutely no question, and indeed there is no question, that as we're talking, perhaps you want to take this away from me, Joe, because it looks like Liverpool's flirtation with a difficult night in Rome is increasing.
Yeah, it looks like a penalty. James Milner is shaking his head. Shot from outside the area, must have come off Milner's hand. Cross, they went, moved down the left-hand side, cross came in, shot from outside the area. Milner's coming out. I mean, he doesn't have his hand up, Graham.
No, you get away with that 8 times out of 10, I think, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's understandably why he's
standing there. There's no movement of the hand. The ball hits him rather than the other way around. Felix Breit, the German referee, has had a very, very good evening until now, in my opinion.
Mm.
But clearly, if this were to go in as it has, and it's now 5-2, the story is rather different.
Wow, that is different. Wow.
And just like the Manchester City League game, when they were here so powerfully, and I think it ended 4-3, Liverpool haven't been able to close the game off. From 5-0 to 5-2 is a significant difference. And you were pointing out, just as that penalty went in, sending Karius the wrong way, I think you were pointing out that
24-25 before
establishing himself.
He
and the
established
simple
himself,
reason
yeah.
for that was that Frank Rijkaard understood other players differently. He understood the size and the technical ability of Marquez, who often played in midfield, or Edmilson, or Van Bommel, completely differently. And as far as Frank Rijkaard was concerned, he wanted to use Iniesta more, but didn't dare. He was fully fit for the 2006 Champions League final against Arsenal, didn't start. That stung Iniesta hugely. He saw players of his own stature, like Deco, with similar skills, living a life which meant that they weren't fully fit. Listen, effectively living a late life, too much nights spent drinking or dancing. And Iniesta, because this is the type of person, he just kept quiet when the bigger footballers weren't having the technical impact, kept quiet when he saw Ronaldinho and Deco or Thiago Motta on the lash. Motta was another huge physical athlete who was beginning to keep Iniesta out of the team. And his frustration about that was huge, and the frustration of players like Puyol and Xavi at that time was immense, because they saw Iniesta from day one as being the player that could make a difference if Rijkaard fully trusted in the ideal of have the ball, own the ball, do special things with it, and don't allow physique or athleticism to be the number one criterion.
Well, we know what transpired under Pep Guardiola, and it really was majestic.
It went okay, didn't it?
To watch the vision. It was quite good, yeah, for any listeners who don't quite remember it. It was quite good. Can I ask you about 09-10 in Iniesta's life? Because we've touched on it before, and I know you know him, and it was a very difficult time for him. I mean, 09, very famously, he had a terrible run of injuries. He had a hole in his thigh for one particular Champions League final and played under the knowledge he couldn't actually shoot for fear of damaging the thigh, which is quite a thing to carry around on a pitch at that level.
Right. And to still, you know, create that opener for Eto'o, which Alex Ferguson subsequently, after the 2009 final in Rome, Ferguson said that goal killed us. I've never heard that. You know, I grew up an Aberdeen fan. I grew up knowing Sir Alex Ferguson at my club, meeting him, knowing him well from the early 80s onwards. For him to say that goal killed us, for a goal that my memory tells me arrived in about 11 minutes. Well, it was Iniesta who created it. Eto'o's run is good. His finish under Van der Sar is opportunistic. But you're right, he went to a final whereby he played out of sheer bloody-mindedness because of 2006. He was about 60% fit. It's infamous now that Rooney came off the pitch in Rome saying, we've been beaten by the best player in the world. He didn't mean Messi or Xavi. He meant Iniesta. And the cost of it was... And he knew the cost of it could be gigantic, and it was. He was intermittently injured right up to the second game of the World Cup, fully a year and a bit later. And there was a moment, and this really struck me, his friend and former Spain youth team colleague, but Espanyol captain, Danny Harkey, dies of sudden death during that pre-season of 9-10. It impacts Iniesta gigantically. There are things going on around the world in the news agenda, which I'm not calling him a sensitive man, but he cares. And it, watching some of the things that were happening in the world added to his depression, and his body was betraying him.
And has he, sorry to interrupt, Graham.
Sorry, Joe.
Has he used the word depression, or has he avoided that particular word?
No, he has never talked about it being clinically defined. He, in my earshot and anything I've read, I've never seen him use the word depression, but he talks about feeling down, he talks about feeling lost, he talks about feeling lonely, he talks about feeling unsure about what's wrong with him, and there's a point where everything supersedes him, and he's injured for the third time, a lengthy injury in a year. It's a breakdown in training. He stands holding the railing at Barcelona's training ground in behind the goal, where he's been doing a simple run, touch, shoot drill, and his thigh muscle gives way again, and he is simply racked with, his whole body is shaking with the sobs of, this isn't going to happen for me, of desperation, of understanding that it's something more serious than just missing the World Cup, which is by this stage about 7 weeks away. He is genuinely fearing that his body is giving up on him, that there's a problem that can't be solved. And watching the footage, we weren't allowed in at the time, but it was filmed and Barcelona have allowed it to be seen. Watching that footage and understanding that he'll then go on to be not only one of the players of the World Cup a few weeks later, but score the winning goal, having been injured against Switzerland in the first game defeat, is truly remarkable. And it's one of the things that you've allowed me to say, that beyond his trophy count, beyond the elegance, beyond the intelligence, the wit, beyond the adoration from fellow footballers and fans, and from you and me and people, and never mind in Ireland, but in Indianapolis and India too, this is a guy who has transcended enormous tests, tests of people's lack of faith, tests of physical problems, tests of a style of football which allegedly wasn't meant for him, and therefore my admiration for him as a guy, and the fact that he's never changed his attitude, and the fact that he's gone in to do something that I didn't think was his métier, become captain in a not a starved era, but an era where the change that was happening was brutal, and to become captain and to still lead a successful team, to still lead a winning team, and to lift trophies, I think has been an under-acclaimed and under-appreciated facet of this really, I'd have to say, exceptional career.
Yeah, there's a real sadness that we're seeing the end of him, I must say. And at 33, he's going to go to China. Interestingly, you're not so sure that'll be the greatest move for him. I mean,
no, I'm not. Listen, just briefly, I guess we don't need a whole pay on to Chinese football, but it's athletic. It's people chasing around like in a playground. Yeah. Talent is a beacon that shines out because it's all about athleticism. And those talents that have succeeded from Europe there have tended to be pretty robust, pretty athletic, and not prone to being knocked over. Yeah. And I wish that there was a better way for him to earn the 96 million euros gross over 3 years that are on offer for him.
Yeah. Maybe he rethinks it. Who knows?
Maybe he can work with Kev. That fee. If you can find that fee, then maybe he'll come work with you guys instead of going to China.
Interesting you say a sensitive soul, and even that he would be affected by things in the news agenda or what's going on in the world. And I don't want to put you under pressure to overstate how well you know him, but obviously you've been in his general sphere for a long time now. Yeah. How would you describe his character, aside from the fact that, you know, Pep talked about how he had all that humility and wasn't one for dyeing his hair and looking for attention?
I'd say, Joe, honestly, the first time I had to interview him, which is now, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, sit-down interview rather than the mix-on thing, I was nervous because I thought that his timidity was meshed in somehow with him not necessarily having a lot to say. So I consulted somebody who knew him and I said, don't be silly.
Right.
I said, you might have to work, but there are so many things of value that will come out. If you ask him properly, then don't judge by his deadpan manner. Don't judge by the fact that he actively hates the idea of causing a headline. He's become much more savvy about what it is to have a public profile, and he's got a lot to say. So that would be my strong impression of him. The better you get to know him, the more that you begin to look beyond the elegant skills,
yeah,
and the sense of balance and the sense of the brilliant idea of space that makes him like, you know, the best Dutchman. It makes him a little bit like Cruyff in terms of knowing where space was, how to use it, how to put other players off their stride and unbalanced because of your understanding of timing and movement in space. And you listen to his words and you see the strength. What immediately begins to come out is the fact that this is a very robust, very intelligent, mature guy who simply looks a little bit pale, looks a little bit like a kid, sounds a bit timid because if he's in a mass media situation, he doesn't particularly enjoy it. But when you scratch the surface a little bit, what I've learned is that there's gentle wit, that there's real strength, and there's both life intelligence and football intelligence, the latter of which I guess we've all been watching as soon as he pulls on a pair of boots.
Yeah, I think he's in most of our top five favourite players somewhere, isn't he?
Right.
Yeah. Right, listen, thanks for meeting for that.
Great pleasure.
Cheers.
Say hello to Kev and enjoy digging the bones out of what just happened at Anfield.
Yeah, well, it'll take a while to make sense of this. Thanks, Graeme. That's Graeme Hunter on Andres Iniesta, who won in his final cup final for Barcelona, it looks like, at the weekend, the Copa del Rey. 5-0 win over Sevilla. He scored the fourth and got a standing ovation and has 4 games left now, it looks like, before he heads off to China. It's gone full time at Anfield. It's finished 5-2. We'll talk to Kev, who's at Anfield, in just a second. And I should tell you, with thanks to Caroline, we've got a brilliant prize for you this evening as well. You could win tickets to a Premier League game of your choice next season. You, a friend, return flights, accommodation, €250 spending money, all included. Just tell us who our mystery voice is, who enjoyed tonight watching the game with a dirty takeaway.
Okay, the pizza and the hot dog. Okay, come on.
Text your name and answer, 53106, 30 cents. We'll announce the second of this week's finalists for the prize by the end of the show. Terms and conditions apply. Always remember to drink responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie for more info. That was Graeme Hunter. Up next, Chemical Ban from Anfield.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
You're very welcome back. So, Chemical Ban standing by at Anfield. Come in, Kevin.
Hi, Joe. How you keeping?
Oh, look at that. Look at you. Happy out there.
Oh, we got a classic tonight, Joe. We got an absolute belter.
Talk us through it. First, let's go up until Roma scored their 2 goals. So, up until Liverpool 5, Roma 0. I mean, it was hard to make sense of what Roma were doing, and Liverpool took full advantage.
Well, first 20 minutes, Joe, Roma settled really well. I thought they were playing some good football. They were probably controlling the game, Troutman and De Rossi in midfield were controlling it for them. They created a couple of chances. I think you probably would have seen the strike from Kolarov that beat Karius that could have put them in front, really.
Yeah.
And it took maybe the injury to Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain just put them out of sync a little bit, Liverpool. They couldn't quite get settled in the game. Then Gigi Wijnaldum came on and it changed the game for Liverpool. Liverpool all of a sudden then were starting to exploit that high line that that Roma were playing. Joe, it was just incredible how they continued to squeeze the game. It was just suicidal defending. It was just kamikaze stuff. It was just crazy to see a side that lacked pace defensively. Fadio Manolas and Jesus, he was just awful defensively because he kept squeezing. And all Liverpool kept him doing was diagonal runs, whether it was from Mane, whether it was from Salah. Something that we talk about tactically, what Liverpool do when they're moving it across the back line. Firmino wants to come a little bit deeper, and it just allows those two, with the pace he's got, to get in behind. And probably for about a 15-20 minute spell, right at the end of the first half, they just tore Roma apart. And then 5-10 minutes either side of half time, Liverpool were just devastating. And they've won the game probably in about a 30-minute period tonight, and Roma were just blown away.
Yeah. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned that first 15 minutes, because I didn't really get to see that so well in here. But then we had a pre-record. So funny, I caught it on TV3 around when Graeme Souness was doing an insert and was saying, Liverpool need to wake up here a bit. And from then on, it was like they'd heard Souness, the ghost of Souness coming through from TV3, because they just murdered them. As you said, Roma, very high line, and they were simple balls through. And there just didn't seem to be any change in that pattern. So you had Firmino, who got through and ripped one right across the goal. You had Mane, who had a big chance in 28 minutes. He was in one-on-one. And then Mane, a few moments later, a ball was pulled back to him and he put it over. And actually, it was getting to a point where you thought, if Liverpool don't score soon, they're going to regret this period. And then Mo Salah did his thing.
Yeah, you're spot on. That's exactly what I was thinking, Joe. When they didn't score in that spell, maybe when you say the two chances for Mane, Mane's one when he's gone through. I think that almost woke Liverpool up. It was almost if, here, lads, come on, we can actually go and exploit this back line because of the pace that we have. Mane went through. He never really looked settled in actually getting the finish away, but you could see immediately it was a great touch actually in the build-up from Firmino just to take it away from Manolas. And he put him away. He was alongside of Fazio, and Fazio couldn't compete with him. Once he gets away, I think that was maybe the turning point. Liverpool thought, hang on a minute, we can actually exploit this weakness that we've got. And they continued. You mentioned there the through balls, Joe. It was simple balls. Liverpool went quite direct. Longer balls going forward. And why not hit those long passes when you're exploiting an opposition's weakness? And Liverpool just did it brilliantly.
Yeah. Don't turn around now, but there's a bunch of Scousers making faces behind you. Don't turn around.
Oh,
yeah. They're loving the fact. Yay!
They're Irish boys as well.
Are they?
Yeah.
Well, they picked a good night to come over.
Yeah, so, no, they did.
Salah then, I mean, was put through again. Similar story. Firmino put him through and he dinked the keeper, and it was a great finish. 2-0 half time. Roma stuck with five at the back second half, and then Salah was involved in the Mane goal and the Firmino goal, and then Firmino got another header. I mean, at that stage, you're saying this thing is done, it's over.
Yeah.
I was talking to Graeme Hunter live in the air after that Firmino header goal, so I haven't seen how they managed to give away two. Did they drop off, or did Roma go for broke, or what happened?
Well, yeah, you said, I mean, you probably talk about that fourth goal from Salah, how he just ghosted past Jesus.
Yeah.
It was shocking defending. The goal that he scored to get the fifth, yeah, I'm with you. You're thinking, that's it, game over. The buzz around Anfield, Joe, it was like, right, just keep going. Klopp was still urging them on. You're thinking, this is going to be 6-7-8 quite easily. You've got 15, 20 minutes to go. You're 5-0 up. This could quite easily be 7 or 8 here. Not a bother at all. But all of a sudden, and it's something that Liverpool do, particularly Dejan Lovren. He becomes erratic when he tries to win the ball. So all of a sudden, it was just a simple ball, a diagonal ball. If you saw, or you might have seen it early on this season, even Dzeko's goal against Chelsea, where he peeled away off the shoulder of the right-sided centre-half on his left foot, great volley against Chelsea. Similar sort of movement, lovely ball, just clipped in behind, brought it down on his chest, and he finished it really well. But all of a sudden then, Lovren just became erratic. It was almost as if, right, I've made a mistake, I need to put it right.
Yeah.
And he started to try and force the issue, he started to try and make mistakes. And you're watching him going, look, just calm yourself down, you're fine, you're 5-1 up. Then, James Milner was given, it was a harsh penalty, Joe. I think it actually hit his midriff first and then bounced up onto his arms, so it was a harsh one. Brilliantly taken by Perotti. But it just puts it's a different mindset, I feel, leaving Anfield and supporters here tonight, because they've gone from such a high, but in the space of 10 minutes of thinking, oh, here we go. They know what Roma did to Barcelona in the last round. So that's got to be in the mindset, given what happened as well to Liverpool again this season in the Champions League against Sevilla when they conceded 3 goals. So it is in the mindset, but I still feel, Joe, he took Mo Salah off as well, don't forget. He took Mo Salah off at 5-0, so that's maybe another turning point in looking at. They've got Mo Salah to come back in for the second leg. So, look, you'd have taken it, wouldn't you? If the Liverpool fan at the start of the game, you're taking a 5-2 win, but it's just how the mindset has changed now at the end of the 90 minutes.
Yeah, it's a very strange one. As you said, absolutely it would have been taken before kickoff, but at this stage now, it's probably just taken the sheen off the whole thing, and we'll just leave the tie alive. And if Roma get off to a flyer and score one or two early, then it's big, big trouble for Liverpool. And Liverpool are as capable of having a period in a game where they concede two or three goals as they are of scoring two or three goals. So it's finally balanced. Like, were you impressed with Roma? It's probably your first time seeing them in the flesh. Do they look like a side that can easily beat Liverpool 3-0 away from home? It's hard not to, or at home rather, it's hard not to see Liverpool scoring in Rome.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I think. I think certainly with Salah, we'll come back in, of course. I think Liverpool score, Joe. That's personally what I think. Given what I've seen tonight from the back five, how they played Roma, I think they have to change it, because they were awful. All three of them lacked pace. They played a high line. They squeezed Liverpool. So there's got to be a change of tactics from Eusebio Di Francesco. He has to change his tactics, Joe. He can't play like that against that Liverpool attack the way that they're playing at the moment. So we may see a back four like he changed to towards the end of the game. That's perhaps what he might do. But personally, I think Liverpool score, I think they still go through.
It's very strange when you lay it out in those terms, the Di Francesco approach to against this Liverpool three, to go with a back three of his own who don't have much pace and they play a high line. What the hell do you expect is going to happen?
No, it is. But you know, as well, there was the Mane chance that you referenced earlier on.
Yeah.
Look where they are as a back three. They're actually in Liverpool's half. They squeeze so high. Brilliant touch, yes, from Firmino, but they think they're going to win it back. But in taking that chance and not winning that first challenge, that's where you leave yourself exposed. And that's where they've got in. And that's got to be the worry, I think, for Di Francesco. Because is he going to say to his side, I tell you what, we're going to go and squeeze the life out of it. We're going to be really positive and go and get an early goal. And let's have a good crack at getting into the final. Because if you do that, there's always the danger that Liverpool will do to Roma in Rome what they did tonight in the spell, 15 minutes of either side of half-time. That's got to be the worry. But in saying that, they scored too late on.
Yeah.
The momentum is just not necessarily fully Liverpool's favour now. It's just swung a little bit back towards Roma towards the end of that game.
Yeah. Yeah, the psychology here is very, very interesting. And, I mean, how do you sum up Salah's performance? It must have been quite something to see that first goal in person.
Joey, I mean, you say, honestly, it was just, yes, Manolas could have got closer to him from a defensive side if you're looking at it maybe as a negative. But the precision on the finish, we've seen it from him this season so many times. Little shift onto the left foot. He uses Manolas as a shield to shield Alisson, the goalkeeper. He can't see what Salah's going to do. And just the precision to put it in a spot when Alisson has got absolutely no chance, no goalkeeper in the world stopping it. And then, of course, then to get his second goal, brilliantly worked second goal, excellent work getting forward. And then the awareness when he's at full tilt, Joe, to recognise that Alisson, the goalkeeper, is coming out to him. Just a little dink over him. It's just sensational. And then, I mean, the two goals then he creates, I mentioned earlier on, Jesus, the defender, was shockingly bad, just allowing Salah to breathe past him. And then they played a high line for the third goal as well that allowed Mane to score. It was just terrible stuff. But as you say, seeing that goal in the flesh, you realise what this guy... Joe, he's on. I was saying it maybe earlier on. Joe, this lad now, if he continues it, he's on to win the Ballon d'Or. It's been dominated from Ronaldo and Messi over the last while. And you and I have kind of joked about it. We kept on saying, this guy's a bit like Messi. What's happening here?
Yeah.
But Joe, it's incredible the level of consistency he's showing.
Mm. And just a last quick one. You're saying Wijnaldum changed the game. That was what you thought was pivotal.
It wasn't. But what happened was, Oxlade-Chamberlain went off injured. It looked a bad injury, actually, with him going off.
Yeah.
And it just shook Liverpool for 5 minutes. They weren't really able to get into it. Wijnaldum himself wasn't able to get into the game. But once Wijnaldum settled, it just settled everybody else down, and that's when the chances started to come. Liverpool, as Ibby referenced Graeme Souness there, just referenced first 20 minutes, they weren't in the game. Do you know what, Joe? Got to give them a bit of credit for changing the mindset, because there must have been nervousness around the Liverpool dressing room. The expectation that was here at Anfield tonight, the atmosphere that was generated both before the game and during it. So there must have been that little bit of nervousness, but once he settled, it was clinical and it was devastating.
Yeah, and the scary thing for Roma now is that those Liverpool players know they can toast that Roma defence for pace. And once they know that and once you know that, that changes all things.
Totally. That's exactly the case now, isn't it? That yeah, you've given Mo Salah a rest for the last 15 minutes that's allowed Roma back into the game, but he's actually got a bit of a round of applause. He got a ripple of applause from some of the Roma fans in going off there as well, but yeah, you're spot on. Mane was devastating. I thought Firmino was excellent as well tonight. Hold up plays, pace, everything. That front three, I'm certain, I'm convinced that they actually will score out there in Roma. I think they could put the tie to bed quite early.
Yeah, okay, well, Liverpool looking at a Champions League final suddenly. It's all very interesting. You're back in here tomorrow. We've got Real Madrid against Bayern Munich. More importantly, we've got Kenny Cunningham in here tomorrow for the full show. Anything could happen.
What a night we've got in store tomorrow night. Can't wait.
thanks a million for calling in. Safe home. We'll see you tomorrow. Cheers, Kev.
Cheers, Joe. All the best.
Good luck. Short break. Back in a second.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
Alan in Tipperary, you have outdone yourself, my friend, with this statistic I wasn't aware of. Hey lads, Andreas Iniesta, the only player to ever win Man of the Match in a Champions League final, European Championship final and World Cup final. The definition of a champion, true legend. Alan in Tip, that is a phenomenal statistic. That is a quiz question right there. Amazing. Champions League final, European Championship final and World Cup final. I don't know if I fully appreciated him at times, given the amazingness of Messi, so close to him, as amazing as Iniesta was. Actually, I don't know if you saw in the latest edition of France Football, the magazine has apologised to Iniesta for never awarding him the Ballon d'Or. Their editor, Pascal Fair, wrote an editorial piece called Forgive Us, Andres, and said they were very sorry for the democratic anomaly. He was closest to winning the Ballon d'Or after the World Cup in 2010 year. He finished second to Messi, just in front of Xavi. So France Football have written to Iniesta in the last month to apologise for him never winning the Ballon d'Or. That is about us done for this evening. You can podcast all of tonight's stuff in the usual places. Andy Lee was really, really good earlier on. Well worth a download. He'll be in Off The Ball Highlights, or just go on to offtheball.com. Or just search Andy Lee Off The Ball. You'll find it one way or another. Tomorrow morning, OTB AM live from 7:45. Gary Breen will be on the show talking about tonight's match. John Duggan as well from Punchestown. You can watch it all on facebook.com/offtheball, Twitter and YouTube. Just time to tell you that our mystery voice tonight was...
Okay, the pizza and the hot dog. Okay, come on there.
Claudio, of course. And congratulations to Jay Daly. Jay, you are now in the hat to win tickets to a Premier League game of your choice next season, return flights, accommodation and €250 spending money, all with thanks to Carling, official beer of the Premier League. We'll give you another chance to enter that competition tomorrow. We will have Keith Wood and Rory O'Connor in for Wednesday night rugby. We'll obviously have Champions League between Bayern and Madrid, and as just mentioned there with Kev, we will have Kenny Cunningham in studio for the whole show. Anything could happen. Tom Dunn is on the way next. We'll see you then. Good luck.
Football on Off The Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.